All right, Jabo said, good morning. Let's begin. An incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph. Daf Chaf Aleph. And we are actually picking up on the top line of Daf Chaf Aleph. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Milton and Melanie Gertner in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Mil's father, Getzel ben Avram, Zichron Lebrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a Nechama. And to thank our shir, the sponsor, Daf Yomi sponsors for the entire month of Elul, Yonah's son and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, for dedicating in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Shama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And to thank Bennett Goldberg, who has dedicated all of the Shi'urim and Drashos of Chodesh Elul in memory of his parents, Avram ben Asher Pinchas, Fega Rezel Bas Zelig. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, then Shama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And I will say with that, let's begin. So we just started the brand new parak yesterday, which introduced us to the world of dam. Very underrated, by the way, right? The world of dam, right? But, so remember again, the Mishnah began by telling us that halacha lemaisa, what type of blood are you chayav for consuming? What type of blood are you not chayav for consuming? So we're going to go through that list again today. But what I want to highlight is the braisa. So the braisa gives us a principle, right? And the principle ultimately is what type of blood. Remember again, the pasuk we're dealing with over here is kol dam lo sochlu b'chomo shosechem la'of v'la behema. Pasuk says you shall not consume blood in all of your moshe sechem, in all of your domiciles, habitations, la'of v'la behema, for the bird and for the animals. If you remember again, the Gemara made a drasha. What was the drasha? That in order to be the type of blood which is prohibited, you must go ahead and conform to the following details. You must come from something that is able to contract tumakalo, tumachamura. Tumakalo means tumas ochlin, ritual impurity from food. Tumachamura, which is tumas nevela, right? The tumah of a carcass. And ultimately, again, it has a shame busser. I should say one more thing. Yeshban Isra Veheter, it has a permitted state and a prohibited state, i.e. it's prohibited before Shechita, permitted after Shechita, and it's a type of busser. If you conform to these four criteria, so again, Tumakala, Tumachamura, Heter V'Isser, right? So Tumas Ochlin, Tumas Nadela, permitted before, permitted after Shechita, prohibited after, prohibited before Shechita, permitted after Shechita, and it's called basar, it's called meat, then ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, your blood, or the blood of that item, will be prohibited biblically. So we'll say, obviously, what's excluded from this, what we started with yesterday, what's excluded from this is human blood. So we're going to talk a bit more about human blood towards the end of this year today, but obviously human blood is going to be excluded from this because it doesn't conform to many of the four criteria. It's certainly not, there's no Isser Beheter. It's not like human beings are permitted after Shechita, prohibited before Shechita, presumably so that human beings do not have Tumas Ochlin. So we're going to get through all of that. Top of Chaf Aleph. Otzi dam shratzim shidmem tumachamura. Furthermore, again, I'm going to exclude the blood of shratzim, right? The sherets, creepy, crawly things, because they don't have tumachamura. In other words, Rabbi said, when a sherets dies, a sherets does not convey tumas nevela. Otzi dam beitzim. Furthermore, again, blood found in eggs, I'm also going to go ahead and exclude she'in min basar, because eggs are not a form of meat. Dam dogim dam chagovim shekula heder. Furthermore, again, I will say in general, fish and grasshoppers, which are unique in that they are amongst the only living beings where the entire entity is permitted. I was about to say, when it comes to a fish, you could eat, right? You could literally grab a fish. We learned this in Chulin. You could grab a fish out of the water, just take a bite and eat it head to toe, and there's no part of the fish that halacha lemaisa is prohibited. Same thing with grasshoppers. La'ofa lebehema. So we'll say, so fine. So therefore, that's the end of that drasha. That's the end of that braisa. La'ofa lebehema. So remember, the pasuk says, for the bird and for the animal. So we'll say, remember, what's intriguing about the pasuk is, he says, v'chol dam lo sochlu, you can't eat any blood. La'ofa lebehema. For the bird and for the behema. So says the Gemara, la'ofa lebehema. Now says Rashi, third line down from the top, la'ofa lebehema lamanem rushnehem. So we'll say, why do I need both oaf and behema? The pasuk had just said one of those things, and from the one that it mentioned, I could have built out this construct. Says the Gemara, watch this. Ima'of shein bo kilayim. Because ultimately, again, if it would have just said a bird, pasuk would have just mentioned the prohibition of blood by the bird, so I would have said what? Shein bo kilayim. a bird is not subject to kilayim. Now, both say we're going to see later on in the Gemara what exactly that means. I'll give you a little coming attractions. What it means is, well, we'll see. Kilayim, right? Bird is not subject to forbidden mixtures. So, Talmud Lomar. So, therefore, both say I would have just said bird, right? Oath. I would have thought it's only entities that are not subject to kilayim that have a prohibition of blood. Talmud Lomar lebehema. Therefore, the pasuk says for the behema as well to teach me what that halacha lemaisa. A behem that ultimately a behema has an iser of dam as well. Ima behema she'ina be'em ala banim. So also when it comes to behema, remember again, behema itself has no prohibition of em ala banim, which means what? It's obviously this is shiluach hakim, this week's parsha. Right? So also remember again, you come to a nest, you want the eggs, you have to send away the mother before taking the eggs. Behema has no such concept like that, right? If you want, you can't remember behema. What is behema? What does behema have? Oh, excellent. Oh, so the Espinol, right? You can't shech the mother and the child on the same day. But Lamai said there's no din of like shiluach ha'im by an animal. So if I would have just said behema, I would have said ima behema she'ino be'im ala banim af of she'ino be'im ala banim. I might have thought that if it just said behema, so the isser of dam only applies to animals that do not have an obligation of shiluach ha'im. But birds which do have an obligation of shiluach hakim maybe are not subject to the laws of dam. Talmud Lomar, the ofel of behema. Different people say the pasuk felt it necessary when talking about the prohibition of blood to include both oath and behema. Beautiful. Ve'ema kol dam klal, oaf ubehema prat, klalu prat, in bechal al mashu prat. So we'll say, why don't I sound the pasuk like this? Pasuk says, kol dam. Kol dam is a klal. Then it says, oaf ubehema is a prat. Whenever you have a klal and a prat, ein bichlal ela mashe beprat. The klal itself is defined by the parameters of the prat. So what would that mean for our purposes over here? Ofa behema in, midiachrin alo. We'll say in this context what that would tell me is as follows. That ultimately, again, the prat of ofen behema defines the klal of v'chol dam. And therefore, again, tells that the prohibition of blood only applies to oaf and behema. In other words, we'll say, that's the simplest drasha you can make. And again, I could sidestep all of these other drashas, the four different criteria. Just simple. Klal uprat, klal kol dam, prat ofu behema, ein bechlal alamasha beprat. Therefore, the klal of kol dam losa chelu only applies to oaf and behema. Easy. To which the Gemara says, here's the problem. Nefesh asher tochal kol dam chazer vekala. Well, see, here's the problem. The problem is there is another pasuk. And what does the pasuk say? Kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam v'nichrasah ha'nefesh ahi me'ameha. Pasuk says any person who eats blood is subject to karis. So there is another klal. So in fact, it is not a klal uprat. Instead, what is it? A klal uprat uklal. Nefesh asher tochal kol dam chazer v'kalal klal uprat uklal. Oh, so what's the halacha of the klal uprat uklal? Iyatadon ela ke'ina prat. I will say ultimately again, when you have a klal uprat uklal, so ultimately what that tells me is that the construct that is created by the klal, its parameters are defined by the prat. V'halo, so we'll say, so again, v'halo dami klal basra l'kol akam. So I'm going to ask a technical question. Before we get to what the klal uprat uklal is, isn't there a bigger problem? In order to make a klal uprat uklal, the two bookend klals have to go ahead and resemble each other. In this case over here, the two bookend klals don't resemble each other. How so? Klala kama lav, klala kama lav, klala basra karis. We'll say very simply, the first pasuk of v'chol dam lo sochelu is a lav. The second klal of kol nefesh asher sochal kol dam v'nichrasa is karis. In general, again, it was, this is just klal upratu klal 101, right? The two klals, the two bookends, have to be halachically the same. If one klal is a lav and one klal is a karis, it doesn't work. To which the Gemara says, "Haytar deri bishmal klali uprati darshina min hadin gavno." The af al gav delo dami klal basra l'kol akam. So we'll say, okay. So it happens to be we stumbled upon a fundamental yisodistic machlokes by klal upratu klal. Some require the two klals, the bookends, to resemble each other. Others do not. It happens to be that the author of this previous brisa is Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel holds that you can make a klal upratu klal even when the two klals are a bit different. Amar Mar, Klal Upratu Klal, Yisrael will say, so now that we kind of took care of that, let's talk about what does the actual Klal Upratu Klal teach me. So Amar Mar, Klal Upratu Klal, Iyatadan Elekeina Prat. So Rabbi, when you have a klal upratu klal, so the klal itself is defined. Rabbi say, now here's the difference. When you have a klal uprat, right, general statement, a limiting statement, so the way that is darshaned is in bichlal elamasha beprat. In that case, the klal is exclusively defined by the parameters of the prat. When you have a klal, so therefore again, when we just thought it was a klal uprat, Pasuk says v'choldam lo sochelu, that's the klal. Ofu Behema is the Prat, and the Prat tells me that what does Kol Dam Lo Sochelu apply to? Only Ofen Behema. That's it, discussion over. When you have a Klalu Pratu Klal, now it's something different. Now I know that I have to make a more general statement or a more general construct, but the general construct is defined by the details of the Prat, not limited to the details of the Prat, but shaped and defined by the details of the Prat. It's really quite interesting. So let's analyze this. So we'll say, so what's unique about the Prat mentioned over here? What's unique about open behema? See, here we go. Here, the open behema possess the following qualities. Number one, they have Tumakala and Tumachamura. Remember again, let's go through this. Tumakala is what? Tumas Ochlin. Food tuma. They could contract tuma as a food item. Tuma chamura, which means what? They could convey tumas nevela, carcass tuma. Okay. The yeshba iser v'heter. Furthermore, again, they're subject to iser and heter, which means before shchita they are aser, after shchita they are permitted. The yeshba hen min baser. Furthermore, again, I will say now I want to point out before shchita, after shchita, prohibited, permitted doesn't necessarily mean for consumption. But what it means is that if you shecht it, it doesn't convey tumas nevela. Because we're going to see the prohibition of blood doesn't only apply, of course, to kosher animals. And furthermore, again, it's called a type of flesh. Therefore, I will say this gives us the parameters, this klal urpatu klal gives us the parameters for the isra of dam. Af kol dover sheyishbo tumakalo, vitumachamura, so on and so forth. Therefore, I will say anything that conforms to this criteria, number one, Tumakala, number two, Tumachamura, number three, Isser Veheter, number four, Basser. If you conform to this, these four criteria, then Halacha Lemaisa, you are subject to the prohibition of Dam. So the Gemara says, I've called Dikzani Lasuyemai. So I'll say, ultimately, again, what now the Bryce just said, I've called. Therefore, anything else which conforms to these criteria ultimately is included in the prohibition. To which the Gemara says, what does Afkol come to include? Well, this is very interesting. It comes to include the blood of a koi. Remember again, what's a koi? Exactly, right? A koi, right? We're not exactly sure what a koi is. It's an animal. We're just not sure if it fits into the behema category or into the chaya category. The greatest nafkamina is two nafkaminas that we know, la halacha. Chelev, right? Remember again, only a behemah has an isra of chelev, a chaya does not. And interestingly enough, kisu hadam, right? Remember, when you shecht it, do you have to cover its blood or not? Kisu hadam is a din by chaya, not a din by behemah. So we'll say, now watch this. Is a koi subject to the prohibition of dam? So says the Gemara last week, my kasavar, koi sveikohu. It's Trichkral Lemesar Sveikah. We'll say now, let's analyze this. If you hold that a Kai is Asr Alsa Safik, if a Kai is Asr, Safik Vema Safik Chaya, we'll say then obviously what's going to be the status of its blood? It's going to be Asr, right? I'm saying it's a Safik, thank you. Right? It's going to be a Safik, right? And what? But we'll say obviously it's going to be a Safik Doraisa, right? Obviously if it's a Safik Doraisa, of course you're going to go to Chumra. Ela Kasavar Kai Beria Bifne Atzmu. Rather, what you have to say is what? A kai is reckoned as a separate independent entity. It's a beria bifne atzma. It doesn't fit into a category. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the call of the price is coming to teach you that even though a kai is neither a behem, because I'm also, remember again, this is the third possibility in kai, right? Possibility number one is that it's a behema. Possibility number two is it's a chaya. And possibility number three is that it's just something independent. So even if you hold that it's something independent, ultimately, again, it is still subject to the prohibition of dam. Ashkichan damos. Well, see, now that we're on the kai, a little bit of a kai kick. So let's analyze. So now I understand that the blood of a kai is aser, Chal bomi nolan. How do I know that the chaylev of a kai is aser? Pasuk says mikol chaylev. The mikol rabosei is a more inclusive phrase, comes to include the chaylev as well. Of a kai. Nivlasim, how do I know that the nevela of a kai conveys tuma? Mikol nevela. Rabosei, so again, you have these words of kol. Kol usually, the Gemara's understanding comes to include something that you might not realize at first glance. So the Gemara's understanding that comes to include kai in these prohibitions. Gira nasha min alam. How do I know that a kai has a prohibition of gira nasha? Interestingly enough, bekaf hayarech tal yirachmana. Vaha is like kaf hayarech. It's very simple. Gira nasha is a din in the thigh. Therefore, logic would dictate any animal that has a thigh would have a prohibition ultimately of gid hanosha. Tumaso shchita minalan. But say, how do I know when it comes to its tumah? Namely, that it conveys tumas nevela, and that shchita takes away its tumas nevela. From where do I know that applies to kai? Svara midalachol mili rabbi rachmani kibehema. That's a svara. Once the Torah essentially shows me that we're treating kai like a behema in all other areas, so we're going to treat it like a behema for shchita and for nevela as well. So that was our kai kind of commercial over here. Just kai tangent. Now back to dam. So remember again, what we have now is something very important. So it appears that the construct for dam. For dam is klal uprat uklal, right? Klal number one, kol dam, prat laofel behema. Klal number two, kol nefesh asher socha kol dam benichrasa nefesh. Klal uprat uklal gives me the four criteria for being prohibited by dam. Any animal, right? Any animal that has tumakala, tumachamura, iser veheter, and min basar. If you satisfy those four criteria, you are subject to the prohibition of dam. Good. Amar Mar, Oti dam halchish taim sheish ben tumachamur ve'iman tumachamur. Rabosei, now that we know the four criteria, I understand human blood. Human blood, Rabosei, is not going to be subject to the prohibition, to the biblical prohibition of dam. Why not? For the simple statement that human beings do not have, they have tumachamura, right? Rabosei, remember, a person has tumachamura. Why? Why? Right? Person dies, a corpse is the avi avos atumah. So a corpse is the highest form of tumah. So a corpse has a person, a human being, has tumah chamura. Human being doesn't have tumah kala. What says, we're going to see, remember again, if a human being is not, a person is not subject to tumas ochlin. So because a person, a human being, a human body is not subject to tumas ochlin, therefore halacha lemaisa doesn't satisfy the criteria. Therefore there's no prohibition of blood when it comes to human beings. So the Gemara says, Rumini, is that true? Is that true that people aren't subject to tumah kala? But we learned, Rumini, hachotech mina adam. Well, so listen to this. If you cut off a piece of a person, or you cut off a piece of flesh from a person, so what's the halacha? Tzarich machshava vehechsher. In order to go ahead and make that piece of flesh capable of contracting tumas ochlin, it requires two things. Machshava, which means I have to have in mind that it's going to be treated like a food item, and hechsher. Hechsher means it comes in contact with liquid. So we'll say, v'kashilon machshava lamali. But we asked the question on this, but why do I need machshava? In other words, why do I need a mindset to go ahead and say, in other words, I have to have kavana that this piece of flesh is now going to become food? Te'ase chaticha shel machshava. Why else are you lopping off the piece of flesh? In other words, why does any machshava, the mice itself of taking off a piece of flesh, obviously means that it's going to be used as a food item? Amrei Shlakish, no, here's the case. Bechotcho lekelev. Ultimately, again, where a person is cutting off a piece, it doesn't really matter whose flesh it is, whether it's your own or it's someone else's, and it's to feed it to the dog. Umachshava lekelev lav machshavahi. And I will say, ultimately, again, cutting off a piece of flesh to feed it to a dog is not enough of a machshava in order to render it fit to be makabel tumas ochlin. In order for something to become tumas ochlin, ultimately, again, it has to be set aside, or it has to be used for human purposes. If it's going to be fed to a dog, that is not enough of a machshav of a mindset to allow it to contract to mas ochlin. Velo, is that true? V'haktinan, klal amru b'tuma. We had a klal when it came to tuma. Kolam yuchal le'echol adam tamei. Ad sheif some achilas kelev. We'll say an interesting klal, that the halacha is, when it comes to the laws of tuma, anything that is fit for human consumption retains its food identity and therefore its ability to contract tumah until it is no longer fit for consumption by a dog. So we'll say, so you see from here that even if something is fit for consumption by a dog, it still contracts tumas ochlim. So therefore, in a case ultimately where a person cuts off a piece of flesh, feeds it to a dog, that should be enough of a machshava ultimately, again, to allow it to contract tumas ochlim. To which the Gemara says, no, wrong direction. Hahu la'asuke tuma minei. We'll say, that's discussing when a food item loses its identity as a food item and therefore can no longer contract to mas ochlin. We'll say if something was fit for human consumption and therefore subject to the laws of tumas ochlin, it retains its identity as a food item until the point of what? Until the point that it is no longer fit for consumption by a dog. Hacha la'achuse le'tuma. We'll say here we're talking about at what point in time does an item begin to be able to contract tuma? I chazila adam, chazila kelev. I lo chazila adam, lo chazila kelev. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So when it comes ultimately again to kind of like your initiation or you're passing the threshold into the realm of tumas ochlin, so to be considered a type of food item which could contract tuma, so halacha lemaisa, you have to be fit for human consumption. That's what gets you over the threshold. Once you're over the threshold, you don't lose that designation as long as what? As long as what? As long as you're fit for canine consumption, right? So to pass the threshold, you have to be fit for human consumption. But you don't lose the identity of food as a food item, and therefore, again, your ability to contract tumas ochlin as long as you are fit for canine consumption. To which the Gemara says, "Miko makom katani machshava u machshava lo tuma kali." So we'll say, without getting too wrapped up in all of the halachas of tuma and taira, one thing is clear, which is what? What do you see from here? That human flesh does have the ability to contract tumas ochlin. That's clear from Rabbi, right? So again, the fact that leaving that aside, the point from this discussion, you see that halacha lemaisa, human flesh can contract tumas ochlin. So if that's the case, that human flesh could contract tumas ochlin, why is it not subject to the prohibition of dam? Here we go. Dikavosa gabi behema la'achar misa. Ultimately, the Gemara says corresponding to this would be by a behema. I'm sorry, did I just skip here? Yeah. So we'll say this is true ultimately again when the person is alive. So what it means is like this. While it might be true, although we're going to discuss this more, whether or not the human flesh can contract tumas ochlin, that may be true. But we'll say, but when is that true? Only true when a human being is alive. Once a person is dead, ultimately again, there is no longer any type of tumas ochlin, no longer any type of tumah kala, only tumah chamura. Since a corpse only has the capacity for tumah chamura and not tumah kala, therefore halacha lemaisa, it doesn't meet the criteria of prohibition of dam. Contrast this to kavasa gabe behema. Contrast this with the behema. So the Gemara says la'acha misa. I baser metame tuma chamura, v'idam metame tuma chamura. But one second, by behema also, right? Ultimately, again, after the animal is slaughtered, so if it's meat, it would convey tuma chamura, which is tumas nevela. If it's blood, it conveys tuma chamura as well. This nan dam nevela. So we'll say, what is it when it comes to the dam of a nevela? Beishamai metarna beisila metamin. Beishamai says ultimately again, the dam of the nevela is tar, doesn't convey any type of tuma, and beisila says it's tame. Lo nitzucha ela lechidisnan. Nevelas behema tamea bechol makom. Nevela. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. Listen to this brisa. Nevelas behema tamea bechol makom. So we'll say the nevela of a behema is tamea everywhere. Now look at Rashi for just a moment over here. It's Rashi across from Tosos Kigon. Like if you go across from Tosos Kigon, about five lines down from there. Nevelas behema bechol makom va'afilu. Bishukim sheyesh sham rov am tzricha machshava la'achila kabel tumas ochlin horil dein derech la'ochel. Well, so listen to this. So apparently, people didn't commonly eat animal carcasses, right? Animals that just died on their own. People wouldn't normally eat. So therefore, again, even if you have an avelas behema tamea, right, the non-kosher animal, even in the marketplace, halacha lemaisa, or I should say, nevelas behema tamea b'chol makom. Generally, again, both sides didn't have tumas ochlin, unless, of course, what? Unless, of course, you had expressed kavana to eat it. The assumption was people weren't eating an animal carcass. Therefore, because of that, it only takes on food identity if you have explicit machshava to eat it. Similarly, nevelas of hatar, if you have the carcass of a kosher bird, bikfarim, in the villages. So we'll say, interestingly enough, when it came to, if you look at Rashi, chin nevelas of tar bikfarim, sha'amu atin tzrichim machshava tumas ochlin. So apparently, people in larger cities would eat bird carcasses, they just wouldn't eat animal carcasses. People in villages, again, wouldn't even eat really the bird carcasses. So in these places, tzarech machshava, vein tzarech hechsher. So therefore, again, these items, in order to make them into a food item, you need machshava. But they don't need hechsher. Hechsher means they don't need to come in contact with a liquid. Neveilas behema tahora b'chol makom. Rabbi say, but the carcass of a kosher animal in any place. Uneveilas oftar, or the carcass of a kosher bird. V'chelev b'shukim, or chelev in the marketplaces. Ain tzrichen lo machshav lo hechsher. So say, so apparently, so interestingly enough, kosher animal carcasses, kosher bird carcasses, apparently were consumed. And therefore, again, even in the marketplaces, even in the villages, do not require any kind of machshava, but rather are considered automatically to be food items. And they don't require hechsher. V'amali rav le bichia machshava l'amali l'tumakala. Why would any machshava for tumakala? Why would any machshava ultimately, again, for to make something susceptible to tumas ochlin, he gufa tumahi. Both are tumah nevelus. So if something is an avela, then by definition it conveys a tumah chamura. Because what are we talking about? If you're supposed to just get a bit technical, we're talking about a situation where there is less than a kizayis of the nevela. And I will say, what happened? So the halal, and then what did I do? I combined it with less than a kabeitza of another type of food. The high v'high havi kabeitza, and I will say both of them together ultimately go ahead and form a kabeitza shir. So remember again, we're therefore talking about essentially that there's not enough of a nevela to convey tumah, right? The nevela will only convey tumah with the kizayis. There's less than a kizayis of nevela. The nevela is combined with something else. So once it's combined with something else, if you have machshava, then that renders the item fit lekabel tumas ochlin, not tumas nevela, because there's not enough nevela. If you don't have machshava in some of these cases, it does not contract to mas ochlin. Iachi libay nami hechsher. If that's the case, then why doesn't it require hechsher as well? The hatan de Rabbi Shmuel al kol zera zera sheizara mazra miyuchadin shein sofen letami tumah chamura v'tarach hechsher. We'll say just like seeds are something that will never contract to machamura and therefore require hechsher. Af kol shein sofen letami tumah chamura tarach hechsher. So to anything which ultimately is not going to contract to machamura also requires hechsher. So we'll say essentially this case is different. Why? Because ultimately, again, if this nevela has other things combined with it, where halacha lemaisa, again, other nevelas combined with it, where it could form a kabeitza or a kizayis, then it would contract tuma chamura. Because it would contract tuma chamura, therefore, again, it does not require hechsher. Lafuke amud beis, lafuke meis. Both of this comes to exclude a corpse. Af agav dimemalile. Ultimately, again, even if you go ahead, we'll say, if you go ahead and look at Rashi just a moment. Af agav dimem. Well, look at Rashi first. Rashi lafuke meis kilomar. What we're seeing over here is as follows. Salocha lemaisa, if you have less than a kizayis of nevela, does it convey tumah chamura, tumas nevela? No. Right? No tumas nevela with less than a kizayis. But what can happen? If you take that less than a kizayis of nevela and you combine it with other food items, now what? Suddenly it doesn't contract tumas nevela, but with machshava it can contract what? Tumas ochlin, what we call tumakala. This is different, by the way, than when it comes ultimately again to human flesh. When it comes to human flesh, the halacha is, if you have less than a kizayis of human flesh, even if you combine it with something else, and now it's more than a kabeitza, that combination does not contract tumas ochlin. Why? Lo matami tumas ochlin. Why? Mishum de batla daito eitzel kol adam. Also, batla daito eitzel kol adam means what? That halacha lemaisa, normal people don't consider human flesh food. See, even if you're eating it, even if you are eating it, your das is bottled to the norm. Your das is bottled to the norm. Let's say if we have time, I'll tell you an incredible vart on batla da'ita it's a kaladam, only if we have time. So I'll say, so therefore again, what's coming out of here is as follows. So halacha lemaisa, what we're beginning to see, I'll say, is kind of continuing this narrative. Human blood is not subject, ultimately, again, to the prohibition of dam. Not only that, human flesh is not subject to tumas ochlin. Aye, what if someone eats it? Mamish, someone's eating human flesh. It's ochel. What do we say? You need help, man. Right. But la daita eitzo kol adam. Look, just because your street is an incredible yisod. But la daita eitzo kol adam means sometimes we think that because I think something, it's correct. Chances are, if everyone else says A and you're saying B, chances are you're wrong and they're right. Right? Meaning, but there's a but la daita eitzo kol adam, which means we live in a world of norms, right? And again, just because I say something is a certain way, or I think something is a certain way, ultimately, again, that's not the var, it's just the sign. Right? So but la daita, even if you're eating it, that's fine. The Welt does not consider this to be a food item, and therefore halacha lemaisa, no tumas ochlin. Here we go. Rabbi Chananya, amar afilu tema da'avi kizayis. So even if you want to say that we're talking about going back to the nevela case, the kizayis of nevela, hachamai askinon, what's the case? Interesting. He goes shechipa bebatzek. Let's say where you wrapped the nevela in dough, nevela in a blanket. The veil in a blanket, right? Pump face, right? So the Gemara says, so what happens over here? So the Gemara says, Kigon Shechipa Bebatzeik, Chabot says, Ihachi, so look at Rashi just a moment. Shechipa Bebatzeik, it's the last of the white lines on top. Pachos mi kabeitza, so I have less than a kabeitza of nevela, Vezem Ashlimo le kabeitza, and I wrap it in this dough that ultimately goes ahead and makes it into a kabeitza. The Afa Gabd Hu Gufei Tomei, Mahani Leit Seiruf Tahashta, Lo Metame Bemaga, so we'll say, so again, interestingly enough, halacha lemaisa, remember, we just said before that if you have less than a kizayis of the vela and it combines with other food items, ultimately, again, it could form the requisite shear. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi hechsher namini boy." So if that's the case, it should require hechsher as well. Hani mili ba ochlin achrini de lo metame lo b'magav lo b'masa. But say, when do you require hechsher? Ultimately, you know, with other food items that do not convey tumah with mago or masa, which means touching or carrying. Aval halcha nihid v'lo metame mago. But we'll say, in this case over here, of nevela wrapped in dough, nevela in a blanket. So we'll say, so what's talacha? With mago, it's not going to convey tumah. Why not? Why not? Because when you touch it, what are you touching? What are you touching? The dough. You're not touching the nevela itself. However, dikemachabi mebatzeik. B'masa, mihas li tame. But ultimately, again, it will still convey tumah as masa. Ultimately, again, because if you carry it, Jabo say, remember again, tumas maga requires you to actually touch the davar hatame. Tumas masa just requires you to what? To lift it and carry it, and even if there's no direct contact. Jabo say, so for example, even if there was an avela, and I wrapped it in a blanket, it doesn't have to be a food item. Halacha lemaisa, if you don't touch the nevela itself, there's no masa. But ultimately, again, if you carry it, there's no maga, thank you. But if you carry it, even if there's no direct contact, halacha lemaisa, that is masa. So the Gemara says, Daha ta'on lafuke mace. Both say this comes to exclude a case of mace. Watch this. Even if you took a piece of human flesh, right, and wrapped it in dough, mitami tuma chamura. Both say, listen to this. It still conveys tuma chamura, which is, remember, tuma chamura in this case is corpse tuma. Tumas meis. Why? Because you also remember again, corpse tuma is different. The tuma bokas va'ola bokas yared. So both remember again, corpse tuma has this incredibly dramatic dynamic, which is the tuma goes up and the tuma goes down. So halacha lemaisa, again, when it comes to tumas meis, even if halacha lemaisa it's wrapped in some type of, we'll call it, you know, foreign material, halacha lemaisa, a person could still contract tumah relatively easily. Amar Mar, so we'll say, let's go back there. Yatu shratzim shein ban tumah. So the Gemara says, remember, what did we say? That the blood of shratzim, right? If you eat the blood of a sheretz, ultimately, and that is not the prohibition of blood. Why not? Because in ban tumah, because it will say, shratzim have no tumah. Have no tumah. So the Gemara says, below, is that true? Below, sheretz matame, bimaga. That's not true. It's sheretz is metame. To which the Gemara says, you're right. It's metame b'mago, but b'masalo metame. But when we speak about something having tuma chamura, what we're ultimately meaning is what? That has both tumas maga and masa, both by touching, contact, and carrying. A sheretz apparently only has tumas maga, does not have tumas masa. Therefore, it does not fit into the framework of dam, and therefore there's no prohibition of dam by shrotzim. Amar mar, yotza dam dogim, dam chagovim shekula heter. So let's remember again, what did we say before? Excluded from the prohibition of blood are the blood of fish and the blood of grasshoppers, because they are totally permitted. My kula heter, what does that mean, that they're totally permitted? Ilema dechel bo mutter, if you want to say that it's because the chelev of a fish or the chelev of a grasshopper is permitted. So one second. V'harichaya dechel bo mutter v'dama aser. But one second. Just because you have an animal whose chelev is permitted doesn't mean that halacha lemaisa, that his blood is permitted. After all, look at chaya. When it comes to a chaya, the chelev is permitted, yet the dam is prohibited. To which the Gemara says, "Elo mishum deles lebei gidha iser gidha nosha." It must be because dogim and chagov and fishing grasshoppers don't have a prohibition of gidha nosha, and therefore, again, if you don't have gidha nosha, you're not subject to the prohibition of dam. One second, v'hare oaf deles be iser gidha nosha v'dama aser. But that's not true either. Birds don't have an iser of gidha nosha. Yet what? There is still an iser of dam. Ela mai kula heter. Rather, what does it mean when we say dogim and chagovim are totally permitted? Delo by shchita. Ultimately, again, because they're not in the family of shchita, right? You must remember again, you can eat a live fish if you want to, right? Or grasshoppers for that matter. But halacha lemaisa, because they're not in the parsha of shchita, therefore halacha lemaisa, again, they're excluded from the prohibition of dam as well. So we'll say, what essentially we're saying over here is that since they don't fit into the construct of the rest of the animals prohibited by dam, right? They have a prohibition of dam, and i.e. because the other animals all share this commonality, we'll say, not that they require shchita per se, but that some of them you can't eat without shchita, but even the ones that are not kosher altogether, shchita has an impact on their status. Remember, I'm going to both say, even take a chazer for just a moment, right? If you shecht a chazer, right, then ultimately, again, it may not convey tumas nevela. If it dies by itself, it does convey tumas. See, even non-kosher animals, shchita ultimately, again, could have an impact. Masha'inki gagim and chagavim, shchita has no impact. Therefore, again, not subject to blood. Not such the prohibition of blood. So Amar Mar, Ma Ov Shein Bo Kelayim Af Behemos. Let's remember again, we said before that the reason the pasuk had to include both Ov and Behema is because had it said Ov, I would have thought just like Ov is not subject to Kelayim, so to only a Behema that is not subject to Kelayim is subject to the prohibition of Dam. So the Gemara says, Tam Lomar Behema, Kelayim Demai. What do you mean when you say that a bird is not subject to Kelayim? If you want to say that it's talking about crossbreeding, or for that matter, again, I'll both say the halach is klaim decharisha means, right? For example, you can't plow your field with an ox and a donkey together. So there could be klaim with interbreeding. There's also klaim with plowing your field with two different animals. So if you want to say that birds aren't subject to that, right, ultimately, again, chaya and dof are subject to laws of kind. So you can't cross-breed birds. And again, I don't know exactly this work, but you couldn't, halacha lemaisa, plow your field with a bird and an animal or two different birds as well. So you see that, halacha lemaisa, birds are subject to the laws of kilayim. To which the Gemara says, Ela amra baye, shetzimro ein chayav lo mishum kilayim. We'll say, very interesting. The feathers of a bird are not subject to kelayim. So we'll say, Masha'ing, it's referring to shatnez. Right? Remember again, I can't take different types. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, no. So again, so halacha lemaisa, what it's saying is the feathers of a bird are not subject to any type of kelayim. Good. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav. We'll say, listen to this. Dam shrotzim lo kana lav b'kizayis. If you eat the dam of shrotzim, right, and you eat a kizayis of it, you're going to get malchus. Wow. So we'll say, so here's the kasha. Meisvei, dama tochol, dama leiv, dama klayis, dama ivarin, hara ilu below sase. We'll say, so let's analyze this. Now we're going to open up an incredibly new front. So watch this. Now you have Rav saying that if you eat the dam of shrotzim, eat a kizayis worth of dam, you're going to get malchus. Let's analyze this. Brisa says, if you eat dama tochol, it's blood of the spleen. Blood of the spleen, blood of the heart, blood of the kidneys, blood of the limbs, hara ilu below sase. We'll say, all, if you consume any of these types of blood, So Allah Kalamayim say you're in violation of a law. Malkus. Dam mahalchi shtayim. If you eat human blood. Dam shratzim v'dam asim. If you eat the blood of dam shratzim. Dam asim. Aser. It is aser. Ve'in chayav and alav. And you're not chayiv at all. So we'll say, so what that sounds like is what? What it sounds like is, it's, what do you mean it's aser? Midrabanan. Midrabanan. We'll say, why would human blood and blood of shratzim and ramasim be aser midrabanan? So Rashi says, demichlof b'dam behima. We'll say, because there's a concern of what? Marasayin. If you're walking around eating human blood all day, or dam of shratzim and ramasim all day, people don't know that it's human blood. They don't know that it's shratzim and ramasim. They could just as easily assume that it's what? Dam behema, and think that dam behema. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, human blood, and dam shratzim is asr midrabanan because of marasayin, but not even asr midaraisa. So one second. How does that stem with the fact that we just said before? That if you eat a kizayis of dam shratzim, you get malchus. Well, so when you get malchus or something, presumably if there's an isr daraisa, to which the Gemara says, my ein chayav and I love kares. What it means is you're not chayav on it for kares. Rather, I love mechayav. Ultimately, again, but you would be chayav for a lav. So we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that maybe when it says that human blood and dam shratzim, that it's asr, but you're not chayav, maybe chayav means not chayav kares. But maybe it really is punishable by a lav. Says the Gemara, then the Braisa doesn't read well. Chada hainu resha. If that's the case, then why don't you group human blood and dam shratzim with the first part of the Braisa? Because the first part of the Braisa was supposed to be spleen blood, heart blood, kidney blood, limb blood. Those are all different types of blood where there's no iser kares, but there is an iser da'oraisa. There's a lav. So if you're telling me now that human blood and shratzim and ramasim blood also is a lav da'oraisa, then why are you breaking them off from the first cohort? Include them with the first group. Chadahim reisha v'od, tana milav nami kamemayitle. Furthermore, I'm going to both say it's clear from the sefer that what? That human blood and blood of shratzim and ramasim is being excluded even from a lav, diktani. Yotza dam shratzim, shein bahem tumachamura. We are coming to exclude dam shratzim because it doesn't have tumachamura. Am rav zera, hisruva mishum sheretz. Loke mishum dam ein loke. Oh, we'll say what it means is like this: if you eat a kezayis of sheretz blood, you're chayiv. It's true. What are you chayiv for? What are you chayiv for? Sheretz consumption, not blood consumption. As we'll say, by a sheretz, there's no distinction between the blood and the rest of the sheretz body. It's all called what? It's all called what? It's all called sheretz. So if somebody ate the kezayis of sheretz, what the Braisa is coming to teach me is, if you ate the kezayis of sheretz blood, then halacha lemaisa, you are chayiv for sheretz consumption, but not for blood consumption. Rabbi says, let's just go a little bit weiter. Amar Rav, dam is very interesting. Dam dogim shekinzo. As well, what we've established is fish blood is not subject to any type of prohibition either, right? Dam dogim is totally permitted. So, what we've established so far is dam shratzim totally permitted. I mean, let me say that differently. Dam shratzim, totally aser, right? But what? Aser alts sheretz, not aser alts dam. Okay, dam dogim sounds like totally permitted. But now Rav gives an important qualification. Dam dogim shakinsu aser. Well, so listen to this. If you filled up a bowl with fish blood, that is aser. That is aser. So we'll say, look at Rashi, aser. The michlof bedam behema varo omer mutter lechol dam. We'll say, it's a marasayin issue over here. A marasayin issue. If you have a bowl of blood, right, no one's going to know where that blood came from. People are going to assume that it's just as easily animal blood like it is anything else. And if they see you eating it, they're going to have a misunderstanding that blood is permitted. Meisvei, dam dogim, dam chagavim, mutter afilu lechatchila. But one second, but the Braisa says that fish blood, grasshopper blood is mutter even lechatchila. You're right. Hahi, bishalo kinso. That's when what? When you didn't gather it together in a bowl. Right? If you gathered it together in a bowl, then we have a marasayin issue. Kika amarab bishikinsu. Dikha, we'll say, watch this. This is incredible. With this will end. Dikha vose gabi mahal chishayin. We'll say, we find the same dynamic by human blood. Bishalo kinso mi aser. We'll say, when human blood is not gathered, is it aser? Vahatanya. We'll say, listen to this. Da'am shal gabi kika. We'll say, listen to this. This is a very halacha lemaisa case. I bite into a piece of bread. And what happens? There's blood on the bread. Some of the blood from my gums, right, got onto the bread. from my tooth got onto the bread. So what's the halacha? See, we'll say, see, for us, it's like a non-shayla. Throw it out. So understand, okay, it wasn't always a disposable society. Because you have to know, what can I do with the bread? What can't I do with the bread? Dam shal gabi kiga, goro va'ochlo. Halacha is, what do? You scrape off the blood, and you can eat the rest of the bread. Bein hashinayim, what if there's blood inside your mouth, in your teeth? Motitso ubolo, so okay, you could swallow your own blood. Ve'ino choshesh, and ultimately, again, you don't have to be choshesh. So I'll say, so again, why is this important? What is this saying? Human blood is mutter, right? Mutter for consumption. But as we're going to see, there's an issur d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to eat human blood when? When? When it's detached from your body. So if there is blood on the piece of bread, so now it's my blood, but Allah says it's out of my body, as much as there is no issur to go ahead and consume human blood at all, there is an issur d'rabbanan when it's detached from your body, alts maris ayin. So we'll say, where does this come up? Right, I get a cut, right? Often the natural human tendency is put it in your mouth. So Allah said that's permitted. That's permitted. Why? Because that blood is still on my guf. So as long as the blood is in or on my guf, there's no problem, quote unquote, with ingesting that blood. And in fact, again, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Dam Adam, this is Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, Hilchos Dam, Simin Samech Vav Sif Yud. Dam Adam, human blood, impir shumimenu, asr mishum marasayim. If the human blood becomes detached from you, it is asr because of marasayim. So you can't eat your own blood once it's become detached from your body. Lefichach, im nash, but again, I want to point out, not doraisa, not even a real, it's a dirabonon because of marasayim. Because if people see you eating blood, what's the concern? What's the concern? Not, is that human blood? Is there animal blood? So therefore again, lefichach, im nosha chakikar bishina, v'yata dam bishina val gabe higa. Therefore, if you bit into a piece of bread, or an apple, or anything else, and there's blood there, and it's my blood, what's the halacha? Tzarech legoro. You have to scrape it away. Aval shebein ha-shinayim motzitso. But halacha lemaisa, again, if it's between your teeth, ultimately, again, you could just ingest it. Shabbos says to the Gemara, ki tanya hi masnisa, the ispe kashkashim. Ki kamarav, lespe kashkashim. So we'll say same thing with fish blood. When it comes to fish blood, what's the halacha? Fish blood is totally permitted. Except when? When it is in a bowl. Right, when it's gathered, because there's an issur of maris ayin. If you want to drink fish blood from a bowl, how do you take care of the maris ayin issue? It's good to know. Keep the scales on the side of the bowl. If the scales are there, then what? That's a clear simon, a clear indication, ultimately, again, that it's fish blood and there's no maris ayin. I will say the Shulchan Aruch codifies this as well. Dam dogim. When it comes to fish blood, afa pishu mutter, even though it's mutter im kabutsubikli aser, if you gather it in a utensil, it is aser. Why? Mishum marasayim. So I'll say it again. However, lefichach im nikar shumidagim, if it's clear that it's fish blood, kigon shiishbo kaskasim, for example, it has the scales there, then it is mutter. Therefore, that's how the Gemara ends off by saying it. Rabbi said the Gemara says kitayim as these in the isbe kashkashim. When did the Mishnah say that fish blood is totally permitted, even if gathered in a bowl? That's when you left the scales there. Ki kamar avda aser. When did Rav say that fish blood in a bowl is going to be aser? The last be kashkashim, where ultimately, again, you didn't leave the scales, and therefore there's an issue of marasayim. So we'll say, bottom line for our purposes today, halacha lemaisa, dam shratzim, totally permitted. Except halacha lemaisa, it doesn't really make such a big difference because the dam is permitted, but what? It's considered like sheretz. Mahal cheshtayim, human blood, permitted, except when it's detached from the body because of marasayin. Dam dogim, totally permitted, except when gathered in a bowl. But even if you need your fish, your bowl of fish blood fix, no problem. Just leave the scales on the side, and we are good to go. Klalu pratu klal, four criteria for ultimately, again, creating an isra of dam. Number one, chelav tuma chamura. Number two, Tuma Kala. Number three, Isser Beheter. And number four, Min Basser. Right, we'll continue here tomorrow. Mirza Hashem. My fish blood? Have to save it for a different time. Mirza Hashem. Friday.